because we're going to celebrate dads tonight, and so we won't have church, so you need to get all you can get while the getting's good. Brother Wayne Huntley will be preaching the night services at camp meeting. If you've never been in service with him, it's worth a trip to Montgomery. Brother Wayne Huntley's an excellent pioneer church builder and preacher, and he's meant a lot to the apostolic movement in the last 30 some odd years. And we're blessed to have him in our district. Praise God. We're going to read again this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we began this, or tried to, last Sunday evening, but all of heaven fell out. And we had five or so get the Holy Ghost there on Sunday night. And Wednesday night it happened again during the prayer. Had another family get the Holy Ghost. And guy works with Brother Ronnie and Brother Mike. And they're going to be starting a Bible study with him. That's just the way it should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. And everyone say, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated. Give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we thank you and we worship you. We're glad to be able to handle your word today. We're glad for the privilege knowing you by the power of your word. Praise God. Praise God. And everyone say praise the Lord. It is such a wonderful thing to gather on a Father's Day in the house of the Lord and see men bringing their families into the house of God and living a godly life. And there's tremendous power in a godly father. There's tremendous power in a godly father, in a godly impression, and a godly mentor. Praise God. As we open up this second chapter, we've done a little work on it beginning last Sunday night and again on Wednesday evening. But we'll follow into it a little further right now. The chapter follows closely to chapter 1 in content and in context. The discussion in chapter 1 was about the glory goes to God so that no flesh will glory, and that God by his wisdom has brought to nothing the wisdom of the world. And so we see this throughout the scripture. It resonates with passages like Zechariah chapter 4 that declares, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so we understand that we are completely lost and completely hopeless without God in our lives. And I understand that in the arena of men and men's ideas, you may have some qualities that are good qualities, but you have to understand that without God in your life, your very righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. It's like something that's useless without any point to it at all. So even my talent and my ability and my thick curly hair means nothing at all if I'm not walking in the pattern and the plan of God. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And this helps us to prioritize. It helps us to understand where the force of life is and where our priorities should lie, where our energy should be invested, and where our minds and our hearts and our families should be directed. So the lesson in chapter 1 was no flesh should glory in his presence. And the obvious conclusion there is that God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory, no matter what we're doing or where we are or who we are. God gets all the glory. Can anybody standing in a place where you're blessed and you know good things have come to you, can you say this morning that you did it by your own strength, or do you realize that it was the power and the goodness and the mercies of God? It's easy sometimes to get caught up in what you've done and who you are, but I need to back away and take a breath sometimes and understand that if it hadn't been for the goodness of God, and if it hadn't been for the mercies of God, and if God hadn't smiled down on me where I was in a time of need, I want you to know I can't even breathe without Him. So as we move into this chapter, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil doesn't understand God's plan. The devil doesn't understand where God's going or what he's going to accomplish. And when they crucified Jesus, they thought they won a great victory. And it was the greatest victory that's ever been won. But it was a victory against hell and against death and over the grave and over sin. And Paul said if they had known what he was going to do, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Because when they plunged those nails in his hands and feet and pressed those thorns into his brow and plunged that spear into his side, they released the healing power of God. They released the Holy Ghost all over the world. They released the hope of God into every nook and cranny. When the veil of his flesh was torn, the veil of the temple was torn, and the presence, the Shekinah of God, went forth into all the world. So anywhere you are on the face of the earth today, you can have a manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God. You don't have to have a priest there to act as an intermediary, but you can open your heart and begin to talk to God, and God begins to move on your life wherever you are in all the full orbed power that he moved upon the prophets of old, the priests of the Old Testament, Israel, and that first generation church. I'm telling you, it's here today. It's over on the other side of the earth. It's in every little barrio and every little hamlet and every little village all over the world. Because his flesh was torn, the good stuff came out and touched the whole earth. The devil didn't understand that, or he would not have laid his hand upon him. He was the alabaster box, and when he broke, it filled not only the whole room, but the whole world full of the fragrance of the goodness of God. Calvary is the great victory. But if there's a lesson to be learned there, it is this, that when your flesh gets torn, it's not a bad thing. I said, when your flesh gets torn, it's not a bad thing. And when you're in a valley, it's not a bad thing. And when you're getting crushed in the crucible of life, it's not a bad thing. And when your alabaster box gets broken, it's not a bad thing. I want you to get around to that. That's why the apostle said, we praise him in all things. For everything, give thanks. How can that be? How should I praise him in the middle of trouble? But the patriarch knew it. In the middle of his crushing experience, Job lifts up his hands and said, blessed is the name of the Lord. David knew it. The apostles knew it. And we need to know that instead of whining and crying and getting bitter and getting hurt and turning away and leaving the call of God in your life. But you ought to be able to look around and say, my steps are ordered of God. My life is constructed by, come on, you either believe that or you don't. He directs my path. He orders my steps. I want to tell you by the word of God, nothing happens to a child of God that God doesn't sign off on. And if God says it's all right, it's going to be all right. What if I'm in pain? Give God praise. Well, what if I'm broke? Give God praise. What if I have my life falling apart? Give God praise. I can't explain all the details. I can't see this. Ear can't hear this. This doesn't enter into the heart of man, but God will reveal it by his spirit. Honey, it's going to be all right. My God, somebody that's been through a storm and can say amen to this, give God some praise. Somebody that's been down to the hospital, but you know God's had his hand on it all the way, you give God praise. Somebody that's had the enemy touch your life, but you know he couldn't touch you unless God sent him, you give God praise. The Greeks follow after wisdom. The Jews seek for a sign. But neither of those will compel you into the work and the purpose and the plan and the fulfillment of God in your life. But we walk by faith and we walk in his spirit and we give him praise for everything because we trust God. 'Tis so sweet. This can't just be a song to trust in Jesus. It can't just be an old dusty hymnal somewhere. It's got to be alive and on fire in your heart. Or the devil will use you for a speed bag. Life will crush the joy out of you. It'll steal your victory and steal your joy. And then where will you be? Praise God. Come on, it's not a shock. None of us are going to get out of here alive. Maybe all at once. Maybe by degrees. But if God tarries, we're all going the same way. That should not be a shocker. And you can't find yourself, God's dragging you into glory and you're hanging on by your fingernails. No, God. Well, what do you want? I want to live in the world. Do you? You're a doofus. I want to stay in the flesh. Do you really? He didn't die for you so you could stay here. He died for you so you could go to his house and live forever. Somebody say praise the Lord. So you may lose the house and you may lose the stuff and you may lose your health and you may, boy, this is a victorious sermon. And you may, sounds like the lyrics for a country song. You may lose everything, but God is still God. And somebody needs to get a hold of that today and understand that in every event in my life, God has purpose for me and he's leading me somewhere, probably in the force of ministry, because there's going to be somebody in that place I would not have gone by myself, and I'm going to meet them and I'm going to minister to them and I'm going to witness to them and I'm going to tell them about the mighty God, and they're going to see me in my trouble and they're going to hear the song of God and they're going to see joy in the midst of trouble and they're going to see light in the middle of the darkness and they're going to see the salt of the earth in a place where the world all sings the same song. But we don't sing that song anymore. He said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a deep pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He established my goings. He's put a new song in my heart. I don't sing that old song anymore. Not that world song. Praise God. So when our enemy breaks our earthen vessel, the sweet stuff flows out. And when our flesh gets pounded, the kingdom of God flows out. Now this is not just an idea. This is sound theology. James 1 and 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Joseph understands in the pit and in the prison and in Potiphar's house, he understands that dreams belong to God. And that lets me know he's still holding on to his dream. That all of the vagaries of life can't steal what God has said. I know it's going to come to pass. He believed it so much. He believed it so much when he's laying on his deathbed, lying on his deathbed. He said, now when I die, I want you to take my bones with you. You're going to be leaving this place. It wasn't going to happen for a long time because God, in the middle of a dark vision, told Abraham, your people are going to be in Egypt for 400 years. And so Joseph believed that. He hung on to the dream. He hung on to the vision in his own life. And then when he's about to die, he said, and God has spoken dreams and vision over his people for eons. And he's spoken that you're going to be delivered out of this place in 400 years. When you go, take my bones with you. His conversation was about the promise of God. His vision was about the promise of God. Well, praise God. And Wednesday night we sang a little bit of that chorus. If you only knew what I was going to be after the storm, you wouldn't have even bothered me. It's a song to the enemy. It's a song to life. It's a song to circumstance. It's a song to the trouble. If you knew, if you only knew, if the princes of this world had known what Jesus was going to do on that cross, they'd have never crucified him. And the song says, if you only knew what I was going to be after the storm, you wouldn't have even bothered me. I want you to understand that after the storm, God has a plan for us, but we got to pass through the storm. Praise God. Praise God. Dustin, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul's encounter with trouble and his revelation concerning the ways and the plan of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin in about verse 7. Paul probably, outside of Lystra, died under a hail of rocks. He was stoned to death. He was stoned more than once, but he was stoned to death outside Lystra. And they took his body and brought him outside the city. And the disciples were all upset. And then he just started stirring and he got up and they went on their way. And I just can't help but imagine half his teeth are knocked out. He's got gashes all over him. I don't know when God raised him, if he healed him completely of all that. But Paul said, in that brief interlude while I was dead, I went to the third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven is out in the cosmos where the stars are. But the third heaven is where is the dimension where angels and God and spirits are. Now, I say it's dimensional because it's not geographic. It's not spatial. You can't get there by traveling a long way out into the ethos. But what into the ether. But what you have to do is you have to step through a portal like you do when you pray. Like you do when you really worship God with all of your heart. You move through a portal. The Bible said the angels of the Lord are encamped around about you. How many of you believe that? Where are they? They're right here right now. Mine came with me. Yours came with you. They're all here. I guess they have a convention in the parking lot while we're having church. I don't know what they do. And then they take off with us because they go. I'm glad they go with us on the highways. I'm really glad they go with some of you on the highways. They go with us. They go with us. You can't see them. I've heard one, I think, but I've never seen one before. I felt the presence of angels, but I've never seen one. But they're here. So where are they? They're in heaven. Heaven is right here, right now. A dispensation or a dimensional shift away from where we're standing. When Jesus stood before Nicodemus, he said, "Even the Son of Man who is in heaven." So while he was standing on his feet in the middle of Palestine with Nicodemus, he was saying, I'm in heaven too. Because Jesus was one of those figures. He is our high priest. He stands between the things of heaven and the things of earth. And there's a free flow there. He is Jacob's ladder. The angels ascend and descend on him. The power, he is the fulfillment of all of that business from the Old Testament. At any rate, Paul said, I ascended to the third heaven and I saw things that I can't talk about. It's restricted. It's classified. I can't talk about it. But he said, to keep me from getting arrogant, because I had seen so many things, God began to give me an infirmity in my body. Look at how he says it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above the measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. When God sees your ego growing, or he sees you in a place where you're going to do a really, really good job in the kingdom of God, he may buffer that a little bit just to keep you honest. And that is a blessing if he does that. If you've lived any length of time at all in the kingdom of God, you've seen people crash and burn in the middle of their conceit, in the midst of their ego. And he said, for this thing, verse 8, I sought the Lord thrice. He didn't talk to the devil. He didn't rebuke the devil, you'll notice, because he knows the buck stops with God. Cut out the middleman. Go straight to God. That's a shocker for folks, because some people devote their whole life to rebuking the devil. Would you quit it? Would you just stop and go to God? Because the devil can't get up in the morning unless God turns him loose. The devil can't touch you unless God turns him loose. The devil can't operate anywhere, anytime, do anything unless God says yes. So Paul said, for this thing I sought the Lord thrice that it might depart. I prayed three times. Now this is the apostle. And we don't know if it's a sickness or a crippling or blinding or whatever has happened to him, because he never says. And God answers him in verse 9 and says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, Paul, when you're fully strong and when you're going on all cylinders, it's a lot of it, it's about you, but I'm going to cut you down just a little bit. I'm going to give you a few things to worry about. I'm going to give you a little pain in your body, give you something to make you pray, make you humble, make you. This is right out of the book, folks. He said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect when you're just a little bit weak. And Paul's response is, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when Paul's in a storm, he's singing in the middle of the storm. When he's sick in his body, he's praising God. I'm talking to fathers today because it's Father's Day. I want you to know there's nothing more pitiful in the whole world than a whining father. Nothing more pitiful in the whole world than daddy sitting there singing a sad song with mama and the children watching. And it's not so much the negative that comes from that, but it's the power and the positive that is lost that you could accomplish if you would rise up under the weight of it and say, it looks bad, but I want to tell you about a God who is able. I have a problem in my body, but I want to tell you about a God. Mama, I want to tell you it's going to be all right. Come on. Where's some leadership? Where's a daddy that'll lead in the house? Say, babies, it's going to be all right. Well, daddy, you're laying there on the bed and you can't get up and you can't move and you're in trouble. Well, I can't see this and ear can't hear this. And it doesn't enter into the heart of man. You can't understand what God is doing here because it looks so bad. It looks so bad. I've been blessed with health most all my life. When I was 30 years old, it was like every overdue thing happened all at once. I was playing football with some guys and I crushed my shoulder. I have a big old knot up there that I can show you sometime. You can feel it. And when I move it right, it goes crunch, 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 crunch. So I'm in that sling. And I'm teaching school at our church school in Baton Rouge, and I'm cold. I hadn't moved. I hadn't been working out. I hadn't done anything. And I walk out back, and some boys are playing. Somebody throws me a football, and I just unleash and hum one as far as I can. That's not a good thing to do when you're cold. Because by that night, I couldn't get in my car. So I'm bundled up here, and now I can't move because my back is gone. And before the weekend is out, I'm crawling in the house. And all the back people said, amen. And all those that have felt that pain, you say amen. And all those that feel really bad for me because I felt it. No. I'm crawling in the house, and I can't get up. And I'm laid up. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. I'm laid up in the bed. And I'm asleep, and I opened my eyes one afternoon, and my whole class of kids in their God and country uniforms are standing around my bed. They've come to see me, and I am mortified because I'm a man first, and I don't want sympathy, and I don't want attention. I just, last thing in the world, and I'm laid out, and I can't move, and all these children are looking at me, and I want you to know, I can't see what God's doing. An ear can't hear what God's doing. And it doesn't enter into the heart of man what God is doing. It has to be perceived in the spirit. You have to understand these things. That same year, I get up. My arm's working. My back's working. I'm kind of delicate. I'm just getting around pretty good, you know. And I'm, how many of you love Brother Miles Young? He came and preached in January for us here at the church. And I'm calling balls and strikes for the kids. And they're playing. And somebody hums one in from outfield. And I just step up to take it. And Brother Miles is running around third base. He goes a million miles outside. And he comes in and he takes my knee out sideways. And it's wonderful because my knee, then it works. It's got great utility. It moves in all kinds of different directions. So I'm wearing a full-length cast for 6 months. And my legs are so skinny, I can wear it under my pants. Didn't have to cut my dress pants or my suit pants or anything. It was a year. You know what? I fasted more that year than I've ever fasted before. I prayed more, not because of the trouble, before the trouble. I was asking God to take us somewhere. I was asking God for revival. I was asking God for power. I was asking God for anointing. I was asking God for hundreds to receive the Holy Ghost. I was asking God for all kinds of outrageous things and believing Him. And trouble fell on me like a load of brick that year. And I'm thinking, and the devil is saying, see what happens when you pray. See what happens when you fast. See what happens when you consecrate and you really seek God. Now, I've scared some of you. You don't want to pray anymore. And you knew there was something wrong with fasting anyway. And now it's corroborated for you. And you've sworn off fasting. No, no. But you can't track this with your eye. You can't understand what God is doing, how God will build a man or a woman, how God will take a family, how God will build a revival church, what God will do in His power. You can't understand. And some of it, it takes you through seasons of trouble, and it takes you through seasons of problems and places you wouldn't go. But in those moments, sweetness flows out and power flows out, and you're begging Him in the middle of it, God, get me out of here. And He said, no, I got you right where I want you, because my strength is made perfect in weakness. You're in a pit and you're saying, God, get me out of here. And God said, no, we're going somewhere. I've got you right on schedule. You're heading toward the throne of Egypt. You're in a place of slavery and you're saying, God, get me out of here. But God said, no, don't you see what we're doing here? You can't see it with your natural eye. You can't hear it with your natural ear. But if you'll listen in the spirit, if you'll get a hold of the word of God, and in prayer, God will begin to breathe those things into you. Right now, some of you are facing trouble and you don't understand what you're going to do or what it means or why God has left you. If you're born again of the water and spirit, I want to tell you, God didn't leave you. God's taking you somewhere. God's making something out of you. God's building your life. No, that's not just a blind catch-all to inspire people that are in trouble. It's just I've lived this long enough to see that God brings you and God anoints you and God makes you. God does something with your life in the middle of it. Did you pray for revival? God will bring you revival. But get ready for the ride. Buckle up. Get ready. Did you pray to be used? God will use you. But get ready for the ride, because all of hell is against you being used and against revival. And hell's going to rise up against you. But God will take you right through the teeth of it all and bring you out on the other side. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, somebody give Him high praise right now and bless His name. Somebody that's in trouble, praise Him. Somebody that's hurting, praise Him. Somebody that's in need, praise Him. Somebody sick in your body, praise Him. Praise God. Praise God. So, some of this that we do it to subject our flesh. And some of this that we do, it requires the subjection of the flesh. And it's the only way to get into the good stuff. It's the only way to touch God in a real way. It's the only way to be of service to God and others. It's the only way to let the sweetness inside the alabaster box flow. It takes... Fathers, you need to listen. It takes prayer. Prayer is not the normal inclination unless you're in trouble and you want to bargain with God. But daily, grinding it out, going in when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, when things are good and when things are not, going into that prayer closet, developing that serious prayer life before God, it humbles and it submits the flesh, it subjects the flesh to God. And God, give me fathers that know how to pray. Give me fathers that understand the power of prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Prayer is the breaking of the vessel. It's the subjugation of the flesh. Consecration does the same thing. Saying no to the flesh and yes to God. Saying no to the world and yes to... Come on, give me some fathers that know how to say no to the world. That say no to the siren song of temptation. They say no, I've got a God to serve. I've got a wife to be faithful to. I've got children to model a godly lifestyle for. I'm not going to follow after the song of the world. Give us some fathers that know how to give. Giving is a part of your life that God requires, that is representative of all of your life. When you give in tithes and offerings, you're saying, this is a piece of my life that represents all of my life. And every time, I know we do it so often here, every time we get together in a service, but it never needs to become common to you. This represents all of my life. I am totally given to God. I am totally yielded to God. Give us some fathers that understand the power of giving. We're going to build a church. We're going to build a revival church, but it takes committed individuals, and the flesh says no. You could do something else with that. You could buy a new rod and reel. You could buy a bass boat. You could get this, a trinket here and a bauble there. You think of what you could do with all of that money that you give to the house of God. I want you to know something. You don't have the power to multiply that, but God does. You don't have the power to turn on something reciprocal and rain down blessings on your life, but God does. But give me some men that'll say no to the flesh. Yes. Yes to God. Holiness of lifestyle says no to the flesh. It says yes to God. Give me some men that'll walk in holiness and righteousness. Our ladies are a wonderful picture of holiness, and God has called them to that. Quite often they feel like they have more to do than we do. But Paul, in talking to the men, he said, I want all men everywhere. Lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. David said, I will lift up my hands in the sanctuary. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of submission. I want every man in the house, lift up your hands right now and just say, God, I surrender. God, I'm in submission. God, everything I am, I yield to you. Come on. God, everything I'll ever be, I want to know. I want you to know it's on the altar before you, God. That's what God's looking for. Fathers that want to be effective fathers in the kingdom of God have to have their hands lifted. Who has the power to come into the holy place of God? Somebody with clean hands and a pure heart. He said, I want you to lift up holy hands unto God. Those hands can't be involved in the world's business and money going here and going there and things that are not right before God. You've got to keep those hands righteous before God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ah, praise God. Clap your hands. Give God praise. It doesn't make sense to the flesh, but faithfulness makes sense to God. Faithfulness in the house of God, faithfulness to the tenets of God and the word of God. Following after that a steward, the Bible says, it should be found in a steward that he is found to be faithful. It's imperative for us to walk in the conditions of the word of God, for God to get us where he wants to take us. He wants you to be kind, and he wants you to be loving, and he wants you to be merciful, and he wants you to be generous, and he wants you to have an open heart to people. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And men have this capacity to want to be hard and want to be seen as being masculine, but true power is demonstrated in God, and God is meek and humble. He says so himself, for I am meek and humble in spirit. Praise God. So I don't know who you think you are that you can't bow down to someone else and be kind to someone else and be open-hearted with all people, but kindness is the sign of strength, true strength. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now that might not make sense in the neighborhood you were raised in, or it might not have made sense in the home you were raised in, but it makes sense in God's neighborhood and it makes sense in God's house. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And we don't have church tonight, so I'm going to push this a little bit further. I don't want to keep you a long time. I know you got to go celebrate Dad. I know you're going out to eat or cooking or doing something for Dad, but it'll be okay. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you love him, give him praise right now. Bless his name. Somebody shout a little bit. Come on, give him a little bit of praise. Ah, hallelujah. Come on, I want some dads to give God some praise. Some dads to give God some shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Eye can't see it. Ear can't hear it. It doesn't enter into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people. In the middle of revival, after it's already swarmed through, everybody wants to be on board. But the heavy lifting that goes into the building of a pulse of revival, it takes people that understand the things of the Spirit. How do you know there's going to be revival? Because God has revealed it to me by his Spirit. How do you know everything's going to be all right? Because God has revealed it unto me by his Spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Moving by the principles of the Word of God. Sister Bonnie, you can come help me. We're about done. Praise God. Don't you appreciate Sister Bonnie? She's such a wonderful saint of God. Hey, Dustin, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Hey, Dustin. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Where are you going, Abraham? Well, I'm going to a place where God told me to go. Well, where is it? Well, I don't know where it's at. So where are you going? Well, I'm just going. Well, how do you know you're going right? Because God told me to go. And you can't track this with your eye. You can't track this with your ear. It doesn't make sense in the natural. But we understand that God has it in the palm of his hand. Abraham went out trusting God. Praise God. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He went out. He's got his kids with him. They're living in tents. The old timers used to say, don't drive your tent stakes too deep. What they were saying, we live in tents here because we're just passing through. And you may have the most gorgeous mansion in your city, but you're a fool if you think that's going to last. Because the forces of time and the forces of nature are going to have their way with that, and it's just going to be dust like everything else. But what you build in the kingdom of God, it's going to last. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Come on, Dad, this is not going to last. Put your heart, put your passion, put your time, put your energy. Achieve everything you want to achieve in the world. But don't compromise your investment in the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. Because you're going to stand in glory one day with a family, with a wife. Going to stand in glory one day, perhaps with some grandbabies, and to have succeeded in that will be the only thing that will have mattered. And I'm all for it. Get all the education you can, make as much money as you can, build everything you want to build, do it all, because I think there's room for all of that and a vibrant life in the kingdom of God. But never lose the sense of, but I'm going somewhere in the kingdom of God that you can't see with your eye and you can't hear with your ear. God reveals it to us. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Did Abraham ever find that on earth? Did he ever find that in all that he accomplished in Palestine, in the land of Canaan? He never did. But that's where he was heading, because his calling, no matter how powerful it was here on earth, it was only a prelude to the real calling, which was a heavenly calling. You understand what I'm telling you? He was looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise God. Where are you going? Why you live that way? I'm looking for a city. Where is it? Well, you can't see it here. Well, what's it like? If I told you, you wouldn't understand. But its builder and maker is God. My God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Anybody that wants to go there and walk there and be a part of that, lift up your hands right now and just love him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Where are you going? Why are you living that holy life? Why are you always at that church house? Why are you worshiping like that? Why do you live like that? I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. There with sainted millions, we'll never, never say goodbye. There we'll see our Jesus. My God, somebody think about that. We'll see our Savior and our loved ones too. Come on, Holy Spirit. All our hopes renew. Where are you walking? Where are you going? What kind of trouble are you in right now? What's the devil telling you? What's your natural mind telling you? What is the pressure speaking to you? Where's your joy right now? How is it with your spirit? Do you have the victory right now? You need to shake yourself and get a hold of this morning and understand that God has a plan and God has a purpose. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. Don't move. There was saints in millions. You got the right progression. Speed it up and we'll be good. We're going to go on a little bit in Hebrews 11. In verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. It was impossible in the natural. Somebody's looking at something that's impossible right now, and I want you to know that everything is possible with God. You can't see it. You can't hear it. But God's breathing it in this house today by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Sister Donna, I want you to come down for prayer right now. You just come for prayer right now. There's not a logical, reasonable way. There's not some sort of an empirically proven way. There's not any kind of a medical way. But God is able. I want two or three ladies that really believe God to come lay hands on her right now and pray for her. Somebody say praise the Lord. When it touches her, you won't see it with your natural eye. You won't hear it with your natural ear. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many is the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar. What do you see today? What do you see today from where you're standing? Are you able to see the promise of God from where you're standing? And were persuaded of them and embraced. I'm talking to somebody today that's persuaded of the negative and persuaded of the trouble. And you're embracing the bad report. But I want you to know you've got to embrace faith today. You've got to, come on, somebody's got to embrace the Word of God. Brother Roy, I want you to come stand down here. If you can. I want you to come stand here. I want some men to come and pray. I believe God can heal MS. I believe God can take it out of his body. I believe God can open up a brand new door. Come on. Does anybody believe that today? What do you see? What do you believe? What do you think God is able to do? They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things plainly declare that they seek a country. We're going somewhere. We're on a journey with God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 16. They desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. All over this house, this altar's open for you. If you've been bludgeoned by trouble, if you've been pressured by the circumstances, if you believe there cannot be a happy ending to your story, I want somebody to come to an altar and tell God that he's a liar. Some of you ladies, come pray for Sister Linda. Sister Erica, turn around here, lay your hands on her. Been battling cancer in her body, but we believe God. Looking for a city where we'll never die. Hey, there we're saying in millions. Oh, we'll never, never say goodbye. There we'll see our Jesus and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. I'm looking for a city. Come on, do you believe it? Where we'll never die. There with all God's people. Hey, we'll never, never say goodbye. Oh, there we'll see our Savior and all our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. I'm looking, come on, is anybody looking for a city where we'll never die? There we're saying in millions, we'll never, never, never say goodbye. Oh, there we'll see our Jesus and all our loved ones too. Come on, come on, Holy Ghost. Hey, all our hopes renew. Come on, somebody, get a hold of the faith of God in this house today. Say no to the devil. Say no to the trouble. Say no to an empty promise from hell. Embrace what God has said. Come on. Hey. Come on, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Come on, everybody, come down around the altar this morning. Let's get a hold of God. Let's pray for one another. I want everybody praying with somebody here this morning. Hey, hey, oh, yes. Oh, there we'll see our Jesus. God and our loved ones too. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. All our hopes renew. I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. There with sainted millions. Never, never say goodbye. There we'll see our Jesus and our loved ones too. Come on, Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew.